You're listening to Colchonero Chat, the only weekly English language podcast on Atletico Madrid and a part of Into the Calderon, the SB Nation home for all things Atletico. I'm Jeremy Barron, my guest on this edition of Colchonero Chat, making his return to the program following a lengthy layoff, is Renato Gonçalves. Renato is a writer at Barça Blaugranes, SB Nation's Barcelona blog. He joins for a wide-ranging conversation in which we discuss Atletico's summer business, which now includes the confirmed signing of Sevilla winger Vitolo. We discuss Barcelona's summer business, which includes the much-ballyhooed Paulinho Chase and the nearly confirmed signing of Benfica right-back Nelson Semedo. Also, we touch on perfume, Game of Thrones, Antoine Griezmann's hair, and a lot more. A disclaimer before we proceed. My conversations with Renato, as I mentioned, are wide-ranging in nature and thus do not center exclusively on Atletico Madrid content. If you are looking for Atletico-centric content and a discussion of all things happening in Atletico land, I will refer you to my conversations with Rob Walker and to the Calderon staff writer who appears on this program most Mondays. I will also refer you to my conversations with Carlo Valladares, Atletico supporter and tactics writer who appears on this program every couple of weeks or so. However, if you do proceed from this point, know that you will enjoy listening to this episode as much as we enjoyed creating it. Lastly, you can like Into the Calderon on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon, if that's your thing. You can also listen and subscribe to all new and archived episodes of Colchonero Chat on the following platforms: iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, Google Play, and TuneIn. We'll be back after this.
A lot of money, and I read a lot of reviews, and apparently this microphone is really bad, but apparently not.
No, it sounds good to me. You sound clear as a bell.
Okay.
So that's great.
Oh, that's good. The only problem is, okay, here's the only thing that we have to be a little bit afraid. I have two laptops. I have a really good one that doesn't have two audio inputs, so I have to. I can't plug in a microphone and a headphone. So I have to use my old laptop, and old, I'm talking 7 years, and I'm really afraid that we're just going to disconnect because this thing's going to go crazy, but I think we're good so far.
Your laptop may be just as excited as you for the podcast, and it'll hold up.
Yeah, I struggle to find it, to be honest, because I haven't used it in so long. So my mom uses it to buy her perfumes and stuff, so...
it's pulling double duty.
Let's see how this baby holds up with Skype.
Fingers crossed. If it's used to just a few, mouse clicks for buying perfume, this may be a little heavy duty for it. But we'll see how it holds up.
Yeah.
So it's been a little while, Renato. It's been probably a couple months.
Yeah.
Oh,
time flies, right?
Yeah.
It has.
Wow.
We spoke after the second leg against Leicester. That was March, right?
Yes, that was in April. That was April.
Okay, so yeah, so it's 3 months.
Yeah, it's been about 3 months. Yeah, but no, this is good.
This is great.
We do have a lot to discuss today. We got a lot of questions in. I'm not sure how many of them we will answer because a lot of them are just kind of Atletico-centric, and I have you on to discuss more than just Atletico. I mean, if you want to answer,
we definitely don't talk just Atletico.
Oh God, no, no.
That's kind of a disclaimer. When Renato comes on the podcast, you probably hear 10 seconds of Atletico.
Yeah, and then the rest of like the 59 minutes and 48 seconds will be whatever the heck we talk about. So I will put that actually in our introduction. Like that's a disclaimer.
This is kind of the off topic edition of the Colchonero Chat.
Yeah, we kind of just address whatever comes to mind, really.
Yeah.
So, we do have a ton of questions. I don't think we will get to all of them. I'll probably save some of them for our show next week. I'll probably save a lot of them for then. But I do want to talk about Vitolo because, oh my God, this transfer saga here was one of the craziest I'd ever seen.
It was nuts.
And, yeah, especially as an outside observer, just kind of laughing at like the roof caving in on all three teams involved on this before Atletico actually got Vitolo. It was, all right, what were your thoughts on what you were observing, and is there anything that you found like comparable to it from like a Barcelona perspective or like any other perspective?
Well, given that Barcelona's summer transfer window so far has been the worst ever.
Paulinho.
I was actually angry that a team under a transfer ban is actually signing good players and we are not.
Hey, it's lit.
So that was the first thing. That was the first feeling. But actually watching this unfold, it was like, okay, the guy's going to sign for you, and then 3 days later, oh no, he's going to sign a 5-year extension with his current club. And then the next day, oh no, he's going to sign for us. but then wait, you can't sign anybody. No problem, it's going to loan to another team. That's okay. I'm like, what the hell is this? I remember when Barca were transfer banned, we signed Arda Turan and Aleix Vidal. But they just trained at Barca for 6 months because they couldn't play. But this is completely different, and I don't remember seeing such crazy shit like this.
Yeah, with Arda and Vidal, you could actually argue that the 6 months off, it ruined at least one of their careers. It probably ruined Arda's career because he has not really been the same player that he was at Atletico, and you guys have been trying to sell him for like a solid year now, but he won't go away. I know that feeling.
Yeah.
And Vidal, it didn't start out too well for him, but he played a bit last year before he got hurt, and I'm not sure what the future kind of holds for him. So would you argue that what Vitolo was going to do, which is go effectively on loan to Las Palmas for 6 months, would you argue that that is kind of the way to approach transfer ban? As a transfer ban veteran yourself, would you argue that that's the way to do it?
Yeah, that's what we should have done. We should have just signed those two and kept them at their current teams until they were able to come for Barcelona. We'll just loan them to another team. I really didn't understand why Barca. I guess Barca was kind of the pioneer. I don't know if that's the right word, but they were the pioneers in being under transfer bans. And I think what happened is Atleti saw what happened with Barca, and they were like, what are the legal things? How can we do the right thing legally? Because we can't just sign those guys to train for 6 months. So how can we make sure that they are our players, but we don't get in trouble for signing them? And I think loaning to another team is the perfect thing to do. But Barca didn't really know what to do. They've never been under this sort of thing. So I think Atleti kind of learned from what Barca did in certain aspects, I think.
I mean, I'd like to think so. I mean, this setup, honestly, it's pretty brilliant. As hard as it was to get done, and as much as Atletico nearly screwed it up, they actually did screw it up. But that actually reminds me, do you watch Game of Thrones, Renato?
No.
Oh, that's too bad. No. I was gonna...
I don't have the stomach to watch that. When I saw someone's sword go through someone's throat, I was like, yeah, it's not the show for me.
I understand that. I mean, I just like binged watched the entire show in a week because I had nothing else to do before I started my new job. But I was going to compare this to like one of the main characters in the show who died but was brought back to life. The Vitolo transfer was kind of like that because it was dead. Sevilla had agreed to a renewal with him. Their damn president had announced it at a press conference for two other new players. He had announced Vitolo was gonna renew, and he didn't. Atletico came back in and he signed for them. It was so strange, and I don't think really anyone comes out of this looking good. Like, Atletico had been targeting Vitolo since 2013, since he first signed for Sevilla. This is the third time Atletico tried to get him. And they finally did, but it was only after they waited too long to pay the clause, Vitolo started talking to Sevilla about a new contract. I wrote a column on Into the Calderon yesterday about how Vitolo, as good a player as he is, he may not be exactly what Atletico need. And I do want to touch on that a little later, but I also mentioned in the column about how this is not surprising if you consider Atletico's board and the history there, and how Simeone makes his bosses look more like a genius than his bosses make him look like a genius, you know? Because if it's not for him, this deal doesn't really get done. He allegedly called Vitolo at 1 in the morning on Tuesday to convince him to come. And that was followed by Atletico offering him...
Yeah, to him.
That was followed by Atletico offering him more money. He's going to be making $8 million a year now.
And I kind of know how that conversation went. Vitolo said, enjoy the next 6 months of being a normal professional, because you'll have no idea what you're getting yourself into.
Yeah.
Get ready to be some blood in January, buddy.
Yeah. At least he'll have... Imagine if he were just training for 6 months, and then Jolo threw him in like the middle of a game against, like, you know... Or Sevilla, possibly. If we're thinking about playing them at that time. Or Athletic. Just putting him in the middle of that game, there would be blood. Like, blood would be shed. Yeah.
And, like, I love that he went to Las Palmas, because that's a very good team to play at. They play a very good style. They have the ball a lot. And it's just a great opportunity. It's a mid-table team. He's not going to be fighting relegation. At least I don't think so. So it's a great team for him to play at. And just for him, like I said, not a lot of people come out this looking good. But Vitolo, he gets a good situation because he plays for a good team for 6 months. Then he goes to a better team in the middle of perhaps the Champions League knockout stages when he can make an impact. So it's a really crazy story. But at the end, Atleti get what they want. It's a good player, and he gets to play for a good team. We're playing for an even better team.
Yeah. Atletico don't come out of this looking too good because they botched the deal only to be saved by Simeone. Sevilla come out of this. Sevilla played this really well until, like, Monday night when it was revealed that everyone but Vitolo had signed the renewal. Although Sevilla's president said Vitolo told him he could announce the deal, he would sign it later, then Vitolo never signed it. So I'm not sure how true that is, but it's got to be kind of embarrassing for Pepe Castro at Sevilla too, and have announced the renewal and then know the player never signed it. And then Las Palmas just kept talking in public about this deal, just on and on and on about, oh, we're very excited to get Vitolo, we're so excited he's coming back, and that threw the deal into jeopardy. So overall, I don't think any one of these teams did this particularly well, but in the end, Atletico got the guy they had wanted for years. I don't know if he's exactly what they needed. Vitolo's a really good player. He's going to help because he's so versatile, and he can play pretty much anywhere, and it means Nico Gaitán won't play, which I'm all in favor of. But I think we needed like a number five more, like a Fabinho type. More obviously, the other need was the number nine, and that might be filled by Diego Costa still. Hopefully that gets done soon. But yeah, I don't know. I think Vitolo was probably, or a winger like him was probably Atletico's second or third biggest need. But I mean, they got him. Simeone wanted him. He'll help. So mostly I'm happy with the deal.
Yeah. Getting him probably means that either Koke or Solo doesn't have to play out wide, which is, of course, they're so good that they can play there, but at least you get those two guys in the middle, and that's where they really hurt teams, and they just dominate midfield. If you keep those guys in there, that's the best thing for you.
Yeah, and maybe the void, I guess, in central midfield, because Gabby and Augusto are combined 65 years old now, and Thiago just retired, and yeah, eventually the hourglass is going to run out for Gabby. I don't know if it'll be this year.
Gabby's fine. He's going to play till 60 or something.
I mean, that's the hope. I mean, I could totally see that guy running around at like 55 years old. Totally.
That's how good he is.
Yeah, totally. Just an energizer bunny. But maybe Matias Krunovic there, who's coming back from Sevilla, Tomas Partey, maybe he takes a step forward and that fills the void of young central midfield help. Left back, Felipe Luis is the only natural left back in the team, but I think Lucas can be his deputy just fine. So, yeah, I mean, if you get Costa in here at some point before the window ends, I think it'll be a pretty dang good summer, considering Atleti were under registration ban. That's pretty good work.
And you're doing the January transfer window business that's a million times harder to do.
Yeah.
And you're doing it in the summer, so that's good, because you need those players. You would need those players in January anyway, because you couldn't sign them right now. So you're kind of just making January signings in July and August, which is good business.
Very good. And the first half of the season could be a little rough, because we won't have as much depth, and hopefully there are going to be more rotations. I think Simeone is going to have no choice but to rotate through the first few months while Vitolo gets ready. Whoever else gets signed this summer while they get ready. We did have a couple questions on Fabinho, if he would still come. I don't think Fabinho will come now. Very tough to see Atleti spending 120, 130 million this summer, which they would if you bring in Vitolo and Costa and then Fabinho. I think Fabinho is still a target. I'm not sure he leaves Monaco this summer, especially if they're going to sell Bakayoko, which it looks like they're going to. He could just arrive next summer if Atleti decide they need another midfielder. But for this summer, I mean, I love Fabinho. I think he'd be an awesome fit. Don't really think it's going to happen.
No, I don't think it's going to happen either.
Yeah, there's only so much money to spend.
I think because Monaco have already sold Bernardo Silva and Mendy to... Mendy's not confirmed, but it's pretty much done now to Manchester City, and they're going to sell Bakayoko. They don't want to lose everybody, because then you got to rebuild a team that just won the French League, and you want to have some continuity. I don't think they're going to let Fabinho go.
I would be surprised, and it looks like Atletico are only going to make, you know, money this summer on, you know, selling Teo and Oliver and Moreira. Although Andre Moreira may not be sold now, it looks like he's going to actually go out on loan somewhere else, so it looks like Atleti may only make $50 million this summer, which under a registration ban is pretty good, but in order to spend more, you have to bring in more from player sales, and I don't think Atletico are going to bring in enough to justify, you know, that kind of expenditure.
Agree.
Let us switch gears a little bit and talk about Barcelona. Paulinho Lona, Renato.
Oh, God. Please, no.
So, I want you to break this down for me. What is going on with your club this summer? This was supposed to be, you bring in Valverde, you're going to bring in Verratti, you're going to rebuild this midfield, and everything's going to be great. You know, you're going to win the Champions League again, and we sit here in the middle of July, and what is happening?
Good question.
You don't even know.
I ask myself that about 115 times a day.
Yeah.
But, I mean, to be very clear here, Verratti is a dream. Because the guy costs $100 million and PSG won't sell for $150 million because they don't need to sell anyone. And they will kidnap the guy until his contract runs out. So, and his contract doesn't run out, I think, until 2020 or something. I'm not sure.
I mean, they keep renewing him, so.
Yeah, there's no chance he comes. So it's just a dream. Like, Gundogan was always a dream until he went to Manchester City.
Yeah.
So it's all. I don't let myself get caught in these dream signings because we don't make them, or at least we don't make them anymore. So yeah, I wasn't really excited about that because it's not going to happen. But Paulinho, I'm not defending the signing because it's stupid, but I have an argument. See if you agree with me, because I actually spoke about this on Barcelona Blogrunners, and a few people agreed, which is kind of a rarity. But they're not trying to sign a Chinese league guy. They're trying to sign one of the biggest stars of the Brazilian national team right now, which is probably, along with Germany, the best national team in the world right now.
Mm-hmm.
Paulinho is a superstar when he plays for Brazil. I'm not kidding. And as you know, I'm Brazilian, and I've watched every match since they changed coaches. And with the new coach, Chichi, yes, that's his name, Chichi.
Yep.
He's a superstar because Paulinho played under Chichi before, which is when he was a star in Brazil. Then he went to Tottenham, and we know what happened. But before he went to Tottenham and became a joke, he was a sensational player in Brazil, and he's doing the same thing for the national team because he's a great midfielder who can score goals from midfield. That's his strength. That's what he always did well, and he couldn't do that at Tottenham because they wanted him to be Luka Modric. They tried to replace Luka Modric with Paulinho, which is a completely different player.
Yeah,
He's an engine who scores goals from midfield. That's what he does. And he's sensational at it in the right system, which is Brazil play a 4-1-4-1, which when they have the ball, it's a 4-2-3-1. And he's the guy behind the striker. But he's not a number 10. He's just a guy behind the striker that arrives to score goals. That's his job. And he's amazing at it. The problem is, that's That's what I talk about. Paulinho is not the type of player we need. We need a Verratti. We need a Gundogan. We need a Thiago. Koke. We need a Oliver Torres, which you guys are selling for some reason, which I'll never understand.
Yeah.
Because I think he's a sensational player.
And that makes two of us.
He just isn't. He just never got the chance to play in the right system for him.
Yeah.
But that we need that kind of player, and Paulinho is not that kind of player. And that the kind of player Paulinho is, we already have too many in the team, which is Rakitic, André Gomes. We have Denis Suarez, Rafinha. We have a lot of Paulinhos already, but much better Paulinhos. we need a guy who can run the show, who can orchestrate, who can basically be our Xavi again, because we don't have a Xavi. So I'm not a guy who's ridiculing the signing like everybody is, because I actually watch him, but I'm not watching him in the Chinese league because I'm not too much of a football fanatic to watch China.
Right.
But I watch Brazil, and he's just, I'm not kidding here. I'm not saying he's a better player than Marcelo. I'm not saying he's a better player than Casemiro and Coutinho and all the great players in Brazil. But in that system, on that team, that Brazilian national team, he's the second best player on that team behind Neymar. That's just a fact. And anyone who watches Brazil play will agree with me, which a lot of people don't, because who watches international football? No one does. But I do, and he's amazing. But we just don't need another one of him. If we needed that kind of player, I wouldn't be against the signing, to be very honest, because he's good. Especially someone for the bench, he'd be very good. But right now, we don't need them. We don't need Paulinho. We need another type of player.
Yeah,
but I don't think this is just an insane Chinese signing that Warsaw is making for some absurd reason. No, the people from Barcelona who are trying to sign Paulinho are trying to sign Paulinho from the Brazilian national team, not just a guy from the Super League who was a flop at Tottenham.
Yeah.
And people just don't want to understand that. That's what I think. I don't want him on the team, but I don't think it's a stupid rumor. And why is Barca doing this and screw the board and all that? No. We just don't need that type of player. But he's not a bad player.
I think a lot of the derision is based on, you know, people watching him at Tottenham, because he was really bad at Tottenham. I mean,
that's horrible at Tottenham.
Yeah, that's where a lot of it is coming from. But as you said, he was kind of shoehorned into the wrong role, and his performances for the Brazilian team and his performances when he was in the Brazilian league, I think, are still very...
Paulinho, not the Tottenham Paulinho.
Right, right.
And not just because Paulinho was playing a less competitive league when he was in Brazil, and now for the national team, he's not playing against good players. He is. It's just he's playing the right system for him. That's just what it is.
But the problem with signing him is that you already have like a lot of players.
Yeah.
Like, you need different midfielders. That's why
I don't want him. I'm not questioning those who are against the signing. I'm questioning those who think the signing is stupid, because the signing is not stupid. It's just unnecessary. It's just wasted money on a player who doesn't really need to be signed.
But he doesn't move the needle, and you need signings, especially in that midfield, who revitalize that midfield.
Yeah, we need a Verratti, and we need a world-class right back. That's what we need. And apparently we are getting the right back.
Looks like you got the right back. Semedo looks like that's official now.
Which is my favorite target, and I can't believe Barca are actually doing good business.
Barca actually did good business. What are the odds?
Yeah, so we got Semedo, apparently, and for 30 million euros, apparently, which is 20 million less than what Benfica asked for. And if we're doing that, that's the biggest deal out the window. I'm not kidding. We're getting Semedo for half the price, basically. That's a steal, and it's going to be incredible business. And to be very honest with you, even if we don't sign a midfielder that we need, if we do get Semedo, I'm already happy, because a lot of the problems we had last season weren't because we lacked a midfielder, it's because we lacked a right back.
Yeah, no more Sergio Roberto at right back.
He's not a right back.
No, he's never was.
So
he was for like 3 weeks, and then Luis Enrique kept running with it, and it was really bad.
Yeah, and now that Semedo is coming, if he's really coming, and I won't believe it until it's official, because it's too good to be true until it's actually true. But if we do get Semedo, then Sergio Roberto can play midfield, and that's where he will be very good, because he is a very good player. And we'll solve a lot of our problems if we get the right back that we needed. And maybe under Valverde, Messi becomes the midfielder that he was destined to be anyway. So maybe Messi is the solution to our problems, which actually Messi is the solution to our problems.
He's the solution to everything because he's Messi.
Yeah. But maybe he's the next Xavi. And we get the fact that we're getting Deulofeu and Semedo for the right side, maybe that's the thing. And the most depressing summer ever, by one signing of a really good right back, maybe becomes a perfect window. I'm just trying to be optimistic.
You are being optimistic.
That's who I am. But I'm not as negative as a lot of people are about this Barca summer window. It was very, very bad, but like, we still have a super good squad, and we have Messi. We're going to be fine.
I mean, yeah, that's never... Yeah, you guys are going to be just fine, I think. The matter of, you know...
I think
Barcelona and Atleti have kind of the same problem right now, is that Real Madrid are just so much better than those two teams, and they're better than everyone. It's about taking down that team, and every move you make is designed to take down that team. And it looks like
Real Madrid trying to take down Pep's Barca, and
yeah,
they had a lot of mistakes doing that, but then a few years later after Pep left, they found the formula and now they're good again. It's gonna be the same. I'm not too worried. Like, people are, I think for Barca fans, it's impossible to see Real Madrid doing well. And if Juventus won the Champions League final, you wouldn't see Barca fans being as pessimistic as they are right now.
No.
That's all it is.
And yeah, and right now it's kind of a Real Madrid world with 3 Champions League wins in the last 4 years, 2 of them at Atletico's expense, which is always great to hear people talk about. always wonderful to hear that. As if I didn't get enough watching it in person.
Yeah, at least you didn't lose to them again.
Yeah, yeah. At least we lost in the semifinals this time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So speaking of Real Madrid, they confirmed the Teo signing last week. Finally, that didn't take 3 months to do. I mean, we all knew it was going to happen for 3 months, and they finally confirmed it.
Loved his presentation.
Yeah, when he tried to do the keepy uppies, and he missed horribly.
Yeah, he's good. He's very good at breaking people's ankles, but he's not good at doing keepy uppies.
No, not good at doing keepy uppies or trying to defend Messi in the Copa del Rey final.
Yeah, and breaking Aleix Vidal's ankles, he was very good.
Yeah, he did break Vidal's ankle, he did. Yeah, so there's been a lot of consternation, a lot of anger about that signing, and some people are saying, oh, you know, good riddance, he's a rat, you know, we got $30 million for a guy who never even played for the first team, and I'm just glad it's over, man. Yeah, I made my peace with Teo leaving, you know, months ago. Like, he did this, like, out of spite. He moved to Madrid out of spite. He did it to prove a point to Atletico, and I'm still not quite sure what that point is. But, you know, as long as he's happy. You know, if he's happy, you know, happiness makes the world go around. And, you know,
yeah.
I want happiness for everyone. Even rats, even Arda Turan and Teo Hernandez. You know, even those guys. If they believe they made the right moves to their careers, you know, more power to them. But I just feel that Atletico are going to regret that. They're going to regret letting him go, because they need
are
someone
they, though?
To bridge the gap. I think they are, because they need someone to bridge the gap between Felipe and Felipe's replacement. You know, we saw what happened to Juanfran in his age 32 season. Felipe turns 32 this year.
Yeah.
I'm just a little nervous about that, and it's unfortunate that Atletico couldn't make it work, and really, really wish they would have been able to make it work. But I am actually going to answer this question, because we did get it. Like, potential left-back solutions, if I can find it on my tweet deck here. So this is from Sam at the underscore ambassador. We lost Teo Hernandez, in parentheses, good riddance, and we really need to address left-back depth since the immaculate Felipe isn't getting any younger. We need to start considering signing someone, and I don't see Lucas as the long-term solution there. Any, to you, Renato, even as an outside observer, are there any like young left-back names that kind of jump out at you as someone Atletico could look at?
There's a guy in Brazil who's the best player in the Brazilian league right now, and his name is Guilherme Arana. He plays for Corinthians, the same team Paulinho came from, by the way. So people obviously are going to think that he sucks just because he came from the same team as Paulinho. That's Barca fans for you. But he's literally the best player in the Brazilian league right now. He's just amazing. He's an attacking left back, but who can also defend. He's like, what do you want it? He's like, this is his potential, all right? And, of course, people can be wrong about potential, but that's just my opinion. In like 3 or 4 years, he could be Felipe Luis defending and Marcelo attacking. That's how good that kid is. And he's involved in a lot of rumors right now. He's linked with Inter Milan. Is linked with Bordeaux and a few other clubs, Bayer Leverkusen too. And I don't know, man. I think that would be a good little player for Atleti. But to learn from Felipe Luis, a guy who speaks the same language as him, yep. It's not a silly thing. Atletico is a very good team for him to learn. Atletico's system is very similar to Corinthians' system, so it wouldn't be a completely different thing for him. And that could be kind of the underground signing and the dark horse thing. I don't know if Atleti scouts are listening to this, but if they are, which of course they're not. But
sign Guilherme Arana.
He's a good little player to look at. I'm serious. But thinking about Europe, there's a guy that I always sign in FIFA, which is Dalbert. He plays from Nice, but apparently he's going to Inter Milan.
It's already a done deal. Yeah, he'd be nice. He'd be nice because he's really fast.
There's a guy from Argentina, which Simeone probably is already looking at. I don't know, but Tagliafico. He played for Argentina against Brazil, that friendly in Australia. He played, and he's a really good player. Can play a center back too, really fast. So I'm kind of looking at like. Non-obvious choices, because I also don't want Leti to sign Grimaldo from Benfica because he's a former Barca player and he's going to be a superstar.
Right.
And I don't want any other team from Spain signing him.
I think Grimaldo is going to be too expensive.
But yeah, that's kind of the names I'm throwing around, which are kind of crazy names. But I don't know, man. I think right now Felipe is too good that no backups are going to get minutes because he never gets injured, and it's just amazing. So,
yeah, you know, and that's the thing.
It is tough to replace a guy that's so good.
Yeah, that's what I kind of fall back on, is that Felipe just, he never gets hurt. Like, last season he missed, like, 2 weeks in December, and that was it. And he had, like, the winter break to recover. Like, he never gets hurt. He was so good. Last season was arguably his best season. He was so, so good last season. And at any rate, Atletico already have his backup in the squad. At least for this year, they probably have him in the squad. And Lucas Hernandez, who they tried to make Lucas a center back in the last couple of years, but he came up as a left back. He can still play left back. And I think that is the plan for this season, which will probably be fine for this season. As far as any future targets, so looking a year or so down the road, Wendell from Bayer Leverkusen is someone that Sam suggested in our question. Rafael Guerrero could be a very intriguing option. I believe Atletico were linked with him before he moved to Dortmund last summer, but maybe they go back in for him. I love Guerrero. Really versatile, really fast. So those are a few names I think we can look for. But again, until we see Felipe decline, then there really is no need to I guess, push this. Because for this next season, I think Felipe and Lucas as the left backs will be just dandy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what else we got here? Okay, here's one we can answer. From Sonic Insurgency, at Sonic Insurgency. Beyond signing Costa, what is left on Atleti's summer to-do list? Other than signing Costa, probably getting set for the season. And Costa is the, assuming there is no Fabinho bombshell, which I don't think there's going to be, I think Costa is the only signing that really they have left to make. It seems like it's going to happen. We haven't had an update on it in a few days, which makes me a little nervous, but he's not at Chelsea training. He's still chilling in Brazil, and he's just waiting to get, for this deal to get done, which I think it will, just don't really know when. So other than signing Costa, I don't think there's really anything else Atletico can do. They're going to enter the season in decent shape, considering they've been under a registration ban.
The Las Palmas people are really excited to see if Diego Costa is signed, because he's going to play there for 6 months.
Speaking of Costa, he is in Brazil. You are in Brazil. I'm wondering if you can maybe get together and get me an autograph or an interview or something. How far away is he?
He's really far away from me. He's like 5,000 miles away. So
it's really that far.
Brazil is not a small country.
I mean, it's a huge country. But
let's put it that way.
So you're on one end and he's on the other, I guess.
I don't think I'm not going to bump into him, unfortunately.
Well, that's unfortunate.
It is, where it is that he's a very feisty individual, so he'll probably hit me. So I really don't want to meet him.
I think you would hold your own. You know, you were a former goalkeeper, and goalkeepers are, you know, they're kind of strange cats. I think you'd hold your nuts. Own. I think you'd be fine. You also wanted to talk about horse placenta again. So I feel like this is a pretty good segue into that, considering we were talking about Costa.
Yeah, I mean, is there any horse placenta on Griezmann's hair? Because that thing looks really weird.
Yeah, I didn't even mention Griezmann's hair. Oh, God. Oh, yeah, it's a disaster. Honestly, he came back to training yesterday, and he's like, I don't know if he's working through some feels after his move to United collapsed, but his hair is just, man, it's a disaster.
That reminds me of when Messi lost the Copa America last year, and he was so messed up that...
And then he went blonde, yeah.
He dyed his hair. He went blonde because the real reason he said that he was so depressed that he needed to change something, and he changed the color of his hair.
I mean, at least he admitted it. I mean, it was a terrible look, but I think it was worse when like his natural hair color started to come in and combine with the blonde. Like that was in like December or January when his natural brown hair was like interspersed with the blonde. It was a terrible look.
He didn't bother to change at all because Messi is crazy.
I've had like a love-hate relationship with Griezmann's hair like in the past, but this is just like this like, intense dislike. It's so bad. He dyed it blue earlier this summer. Like he came out to the United States, and, went to a baseball game, and he dyed his hair blue. And I actually kind of like that more than like this is like what is this? This is like blonde or silver or like with like hints of teal and blue in it. It's not good, and it looks all matted. And it's
It's a preseason look. Describe it.
It's a preseason look. That's what it is.
He doesn't care, does he?
No, he doesn't at all.
Like Neymar. Did you see Neymar's off-season hair?
Yeah.
That was after he broke up with his girlfriend for the third time. Apparently, I don't know. I don't want to talk about people's hairs on this podcast.
I mean, you brought it up, though. I was just addressing the topic you brought up. I we were going to talk about horse placenta, and then you brought up Griezmann's hair. I'm like, okay, let's talk about that.
Yeah, but like, I'm sorry I took it there.
Is there horse placenta in Griezmann's hair?
That's the disclaimer of this podcast. We don't know what we're going to talk about.
I cannot believe that is a question you asked on this program. Is there horse placenta in Griezmann's hair?
Yeah. That's what you get with Renato Gonçalves on Cochinero Chat, everybody.
Cannot believe that.
Thinking about it right now, I regret asking that question. And again, throwback to our last podcast 3 months ago, I'm very glad I'm speaking to you in English because my mom's in the room again.
Oh, yes. How is your mother? How is she doing?
She's doing very good. She's angry that I'm using her computer because, as we discussed before, she uses her computer to buy some stuff, and I'm using it to record this podcast, but we're going to be all right. It's for a good cause.
It is. We need to get this out to the people.
A horse placenta as a hair product is the new thing.
That might honestly be what he's using. I don't know. I wonder if we have like a supply of it, like in Mahana Honda somewhere, and we just take it with us wherever we go for training or for games. Like, we just always have like.
Smiley has it in his locker that you can make sure that.
He might have it on his person, honestly. Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. Just uses it whenever it's necessary.
Yeah. So, what else can we talk about? Oh, here's a question we can address from at Malik SJ, at A Malik SJ. Any thoughts? Where on earth are we going to play the home games at the start of the season, considering Wanda may be further delayed? So, right now, a stadium called Wanda, the Wanda Metropolitano, is set to open after the first international break in September. I have a feeling it's going to be delayed further. I base this on no intelligence whatsoever, but I know Athletic Oregon will play their first couple games of the season on the road. And yeah, they are banking on it being ready the first week or so of September. Who knows if it'll take longer. I think we hope it doesn't. We can finally get this move all sorted. Anything on camp now? I read that there are some renovations planned. What's going on there? I mean, I know they've been talking about it forever, but anything new?
That thing is a mess. They made this project and they presented it, and then we heard nothing since then. But I guess it's gonna happen. But it's gonna take a long time to complete it. So anyway, we're gonna play there while the renovations go on. So it's not gonna affect the team in any way. So we're just gonna spend a lot of money on that. And make the stadium bigger and more beautiful, but it's a weird thing. I don't really understand how that's going because no one understands what's going with our current president. But it's his project, it's his baby. So let's see how he happens. But we're not gonna leave Camp Nou for any reason. We're gonna keep playing. That's what I know.
Yeah, didn't think so. I mean, that's a historic stadium. Although the Calderon was also historic, and Atletico left that. But you know, the Wanda, it's gonna be great. I'm excited about it. There are a lot of fans who aren't excited about it. A lot of supporters who are against the move and against the new badge. Like, that's been a whole argument in and of itself. You know, the new badge, and I'm like tired of people arguing about the badge. Like, enough of the badge. Like, change isn't always good, but you know, progress is good. And this wasn't, I don't think, this isn't change for change's sake. This is progress. This is Atletico taking that next step, progressing into a consistent European power, which is what they're trying to become. Even though at boardroom level, it doesn't always seem like that's the goal, but that is the goal, is Atletico are trying to make this thing sustainable. And the new stadium, the new look, the new image, it's all part of that plan to progress. So I'm okay with it. And I don't.
It's not like the badge is. It's not the Juventus badge. It's not that big of a change, right?
It is a bit of a change. Like, it's a more rounded, basically just two colors, just red and blue with a little bit of white. I mean, there's no green, there's no yellow. Like,
okay.
It's not as. It's more rounded, and people don't really like the change.
Okay, but it's not like you're doubling the same letter and calling it a badge,
right? Yes, yeah, that is correct. That is not what Atletico are doing. It's not like, so, you know, two lines and you're saying, oh, that's a J. It's for Juventus. It's a J. Like, that's not what we're doing. It's not like Manchester City's badge either, which was drawn by an 8-year-old.
That's actually a pretty cool badge.
You like it? I never liked it. It looks like it was drawn by an 8 or 9-year-old.
I think it's about, yeah, it was probably that kid, Braden Bent, who designed it, because apparently that kid owns Manchester City, so. But I really like it. I think it's better than the old one.
I kind of liked the old one. It looked a little, I don't know what the word is for it. Like stuffy, I guess. It looked kind of like too professional.
Talk about progress, like you said, like the badge was kind of a change of everything, because it's no longer Manchester City Football Club. It's just Manchester City now.
Yep.
And they kind of wanted to use the new badge as a symbol of their new era, and it was the arrival of Pep too, so it was kind of a marquee year last summer. So I kind of like the change. Not against it.
Sure.
To be honest.
And this is a kind of a marquee summer for Atletico, moving into this beautiful new stadium that could host the Copa del Rey final every year, that could be hosting the Champions League final in 2 years. You have a change in badge, the new kits that were leaked. Did you see them?
I think the new kits are gorgeous.
Way shirt is just beautiful. Just solid yellow with the blue piping and the blue collar. It's beautiful. The third kit is going to be like navy and pink, which, you know, it could look pretty cool. The home shirt, though. Oh, I love it. The slash design, and the back is like 75% red, just solid red.
Yeah,
I love it.
It's awesome.
I love it. And of course, these aren't official yet, because Atletico still haven't announced it. And, you know, we're in the middle of July and they still haven't announced what they're going to be wearing.
Really?
For the season that starts next month. So,
wow.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't announce it till like July 14th last year, and the season started August 21st. Yeah, so it's July 13 now and they still haven't announced it.
That's weird.
And there's like no imminent plans to do so. I don't know what they're waiting for. Like, you,
yeah,
the season
like
starts next month.
Bayern Munich used their new kit in the last match of the previous season.
Bayern always announced it in like April and May. Premier League clubs always like almost always announce their new kits in like April or May. Even a lot of Spanish teams do that as well. Like, this is just, I don't know. I really wish they'd come out. It's not really fair to fans either, who want to buy the new shirt, who want to buy the new gear. And they will have, you'll have only a few weeks to buy it before the new season starts. Good luck.
I do know that Barca have a rule for the third kit, that the third kit is used in the first away game of the Champions League. So they only announce it like 2 or 3 weeks before the first away game.
Right, right.
So, but that's a rule at Barca only for the third kit. The home kit and away kit they're off for like a month now.
Yeah, so those were announced pretty soon after the season ended. It's just weird why Atletico kind of choose to do this. Like, I don't really know what the advantage is. I mean, I get waiting for like the Femenino season to end and the B team season to end. I get that, but fans want to buy. They want to buy new shirts. They want to buy new things. I don't get why you just wouldn't release it in May and maximize your potential revenue. I don't get it.
Yeah, I guess they want to, I don't know, maybe they want fans to be anxious.
Well, they've succeeded.
There's a point where, expectation becomes becomes anger, because where the hell is the kid?
Yeah, it just, the footy headlines leaks are all we have, and it's, again, it's strange. It's because it makes more sense to get this out earlier and not make fans anxious or buying last year's stuff. I plan to buy this year's shirt, and sooner than December. I theoretically would have it like now, but of course Atletico haven't released it.
that's just what they do.
Yeah, it's Atletico being Atletico, and this kind of brings us back to what we started talking about on this edition of the show, which was Vitolo, and how Atleti managed to mess it up before making everything better. This is kind of Atletico being Atletico.
Yeah, they shouldn't have a board. It should just be Simeone doing everything.
He basically does already.
No, but like the kid launch, leave it to him. He'd probably do it in May. He'd do it right.
Just, he would come out of the training pitch one day just dressed in the new shirt, and like fans would go like crazy.
Oh, that's the new shirt.
That's great branding, actually. Do you have anything else to add?
No. No, it's been only I can say that this has been fun as always.
I'm glad you thought so. I think it was fun too. I will let you get your computer back to your mother. But before you do that, I'd like to thank you for coming on the program.
Thank you.
That is Renato Gonsalves of Barca Blaugrans, and I'd like him to stay on for just a second while I complete the sign-off message. You can follow Renato on Twitter at RenatoDSG. You can follow me on Twitter at JBBaron. And you can follow Into the Calderon on Twitter at Into the Calderon. And Barca Blaugranes as well. You guys are at Blaugranes Barca.
Yes.
Give them a follow. Their SB Nation's Barcelona blog. They do great stuff. You can like Into the Calderon on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon, and you can subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of Colt Gennaro Chat on iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, Google Play, and TuneIn. Thank you so much for listening and making it through this journey with us. We'll be back next week. Gracias. Adios.